Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, as I mentioned last week, I should like to spend a little time during the weeks that I have with you to consider the importance of the celebration of the feast days of the Church and their meaning for us, how in fact they teach us something about our faith, but also encourage us toward acts of emulation of what we hear and what we see, and especially in the lives of the saints. This week, on Thursday, the 22nd of June, we are going to celebrate the feast day of two remarkable individuals who lived in the 16th century in a time of extraordinary turmoil and change and profound difficulty. One was a bishop and the other a layman, a lawyer, both very much involved in their own times, and in fact very much involved in the governance of the Kingdom of England. This is the feast of Saints John Fisher and Thomas More. Both very devoted to participation in the world about them, but both very learned in Catholic doctrine and very much attached to the devotion and reverence and prayer required of all Christians. But as I said, this was a time of great change and turmoil and difficulty. And both John Fisher and Thomas More entered into the challenges, talked about the new learning, began to understand how, in fact, the Catholic faith can be preached in particular new circumstances. Bishop John Fisher was known for his extraordinary erudition. He was a very deep scholar of sacred scripture, knew several languages, such as Greek, Latin, Hebrew, and in fact was deeply concerned for education, especially at the university level, where he introduced various forms of new teaching and new courses. He was encouraged, of course, by the grandmother of the King, Henry VIII, with her great beneficence, to found new colleges, to found new chairs of learning in them. But John Fisher was also deeply attached to pastoral life. He was one of the few bishops in England at the time that actually resided in his diocese. Interestingly enough, it was the poorest diocese in England, the Diocese of Rochester. But he worked tirelessly to encourage his priests to make certain they were properly educated, to move among the people, catechizing. And he had a particular devotion to the sacrament of marriage, for he knew that marriage and family life were the very basis of human society. Sir Thomas More was a lawyer also known for his brilliance, his deep learning, but also his careful use and interpretation of the law. And for this reason, he was brought very slowly into the court of the kings and given various responsibilities in helping to govern the kingdom, but also to administer the law. Into the midst of this time of change and this time of movement, a great difficulty was introduced When Henry VIII's wife, Queen Catherine, produced no male heir, she had a daughter, Mary, but because of the fact that England had just about 80 years before emerged from a terrible civil war, Henry desired a male heir to continue the line with surety. So he decided to divorce Catherine in order to marry another woman. Well, this became the starting point of a great deal of difficulty both for John Fisher and Thomas More. For in fact, Henry had applied to the Pope for an annulment from Queen Catherine, which was not granted. In fact, Queen Catherine's marriage was upheld as valid. Henry then decided that the only solution was to break with the Bishop of Rome and have himself declared the supreme governor of the church in England. And having done so, he got then his bishops to declare the marriage to Catherine of Aragon null and void. Now, Bishop John Fisher and Sir Thomas More both understood what a radical, in fact, very disruptive act this was in breaking the unity of Christendom. Fisher was called upon to examine the marriage of Catherine to Henry, and after the investigation declared that, in fact, the marriage was valid. Unfortunately for John Fisher, this declaration sealed his fate. And John Fisher later was to refuse the declaration of Henry's supremacy over the church. At first, Sir Thomas More remained silent, and in fact trusted in the law to protect him. But Henry and his parliament kept changing the law to tighten it around More's refusal to swear to the new oaths, until finally he simply declared that indeed this was unjust, his acts were invalid, and it was, in fact, a crime against the unity of the church. Then both John Fisher and Thomas More were condemned to death as treasonous. And before Sir Thomas More died on the scaffold, he declared, "I die the king's good servant, but God's first." There's an extraordinary lesson in all of this for us, a lesson that was drawn up by Pope Benedict when he visited Great Britain. He was invited to address the members of government and the legal profession, interestingly enough, in the very place, Westminster Hall, where Sir Thomas More was condemned for treason and then condemned to death. And in speaking in Westminster Hall, the Holy Father explained and defended religious liberty, understanding why it is so vital to a healthy society and so fundamental to the Christian vision of our place within this world. Of course, in the United States, this religious liberty is enshrined in the United States Constitution. But it is under great pressure and even attack in some quarters. And when I think of the witness of Sir Thomas More and Bishop John Fisher, who preferred the truth of the gospel and the unity of the church to anything else in this world, to preferment, to wealth, to position in society. For in fact, as Thomas More claimed, the religious conscience is preeminent. And the witness of St. John Fisher and Thomas More remind all Catholics of their duties to defend the liberty of the Church and to proclaim and live the gospel. And this liberty of the Church includes not only that right to proclaim the gospel, but to educate our young and to do the charity of Christ. And when you look at the lives and histories of John Fisher and Thomas More, you may find that there are three ways by which the Church and its members have defended this liberty. The first, I think, is defined best by Bishop John Fisher. As a bishop, he knew he had been called to preach the gospel in its fullness, and that he did with great courage. There is, secondly, to use the law judiciously, to remember that the law can also protect and educate and not simply to restrict. And this is the point of St. Thomas More. But when, in fact, the preaching of the gospel and that understanding of the law that we hear from More fail us, there is a third way, and that is to give witness, to accept martyrdom. And this martyrdom need not be blood martyrdom, as it was in the case of Fisher and More, but a white martyrdom, a martyrdom that includes a social ostracism, perhaps even a loss of a job. But finally, simply to give witness with one's life. For it is important for us not only to understand what makes life living, but also to understand what is worth dying for.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.